If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How many of us know what an exchange is? This morning I woke up and that just felt in my spirit and just exchange. I was sharing on Friday night how God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And not only did he send his son to die for us, but he sent his son to give us unlimited power, unlimited mercy. He gave us grace. He's given us so many things because of his son dying, and we accept in him that is such a beautiful love affair. Amen. So today I just wanted to just share with all of us about an exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 17 to 21. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, and Christ did, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. Before you be seated, just turn to your neighbor and just say this: "I gladly accept this exchange." You may be seated. I gladly accept this exchange. Amen. You know, I'm trying to figure out a way to get it going. I was thinking how when you go to a store and you try to return something, you only got about 30 days, and now they're giving you 60 days, and then sometimes they may give you 90 days, and then they give you a store credit. But if you want a full return on whatever you wanted to exchange, you had to do it within a time lot, 30 days or whatsoever. But what I love about this exchange that we're talking about today is that this exchange is an unfair exchange. The exchange and what we're getting from God, we don't deserve it. We can't pay enough money for it. All he says is, all you got to do is love me. All you got to do is accept my son Jesus as your personal savior. And when you accept him, all the benefits of the cross and all the benefits of what God wants to do in our lives have been exchanged instantly. Instantly, we go from being in darkness to light. Instantly, we go from being old creatures to new creatures. Amen. And how many know that it's something about being new? When you wear a new pair of shoes, you know it's new. When you put on a new suit, you know, you probably look good or whatever. But it's something about the newness that you experience when Christ comes into your life. All of a sudden, you don't talk the same. You don't act the same. You don't walk the same. You don't hang around the same people. All of a sudden, everything about you changes because God exchanged your filthiness for his righteousness. He has changed your blood with his blood. Amen. He has exchanged his health for your health. He has exchanged everything about you, has been exchanged from this old messed up world to a newness. Amen. So I just felt led to just talk about, I gladly accept this exchange. You know, I don't got to fight for this exchange. You know, I don't have to go and tell the person at the counter, look, you know, I missed this by a day. Could I just get my money back? No, God is saying, look, I don't care how far you fall. I don't care how far you miss this expiration date what the world says that might be on you. I'm letting you know that if I haven't come back yet, there's still a chance for you to be saved. There's still a chance for you to come back to God in his unchanging hand. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2, 1 through 7 says this, And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to this course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have had our conversation in times past, in a lust of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. So we once was lost, but now we're saved. Amen. We were once walking and talking a certain way, but now we talk and we act another way. All because of what Christ did for us at the cross. He exchanged our filthiness for his righteousness. He exchanged. You gotta understand, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we were destined to be condemned. We were destined to die. We were destined to live this crazy life that, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we live now. But God, in his great love affair with his creation, says, look, I'm going to send a savior. No longer is blood going to be required to reconcile us back to him. He's going to use his son, his own son, to reconcile us back to himself. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we were wretches undone. Many of us were messed up people, individuals. Some of us think that because we never did anything, we never committed any crimes, we never smoked, we never drunk, we never did any of those things. But how many know we still needed a savior? We still needed someone to die for us. We still needed someone to go to the cross and to be reconciled on our behalf. Amen. We needed that. So I've learned that, you know, just because I didn't commit any crimes, or I didn't do this or do that, I still needed a savior. I still needed someone to go on my behalf. No longer was the blood of goats and lambs and all that is going to be required. Jesus paid the price once and for all. All I got to do now is accept Jesus, and when I accept him, all the benefits of the cross now I get. And I get happy about those benefits. Amen. When you start reading God's word and you start reading about the benefits you get by being a son, of being a daughter of the Father, you get overjoyed. Amen. There's no reason for us to be sad. There's no reason for us to look gloomy, because the Bible tells us that, you know, we may cry at night, and we may mourn through the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We may go through some of the craziest times of our lives, but when the morning time comes, what a joy it's going to be. What a happy time it's going to be. What a shouting time it's going to be. You may be going through the roughest time of your life, but know this, because of the exchange of what Jesus did for you, you can shout your way to victory. You can shout your way through that problem. You can shout your way all the way to the bank, even though the bank may not have what you want in it, but when you go, all of a sudden, as Pastor just said, how you wipe out $15,000? Because that's an exchange. She made that exchange. She made that deposit. And on Christ's behalf, Christ honors her love for him. And that's awesome. Isn't that awesome? Christ honors our love toward him. So when we love him, all of a sudden now things happen for us we can't even explain. You can't. Amen. So we don't walk according to this world no more. We walk according to the world, the word of God. On the cross, our sin was exchanged for Christ's righteousness. Our condemnation was exchanged for his guiltlessness. Our death sentence was exchanged for his life. Our poor excuse for life was exchanged for a life that meets the holy standards of God. 1 John 5:11-12 says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Amen. That's the word. 1 John 5:11-12 tells us, and it's recorded, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus. Now, who has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son hath not life. That's the word. So that's why I'd say that you can shout your way through victory, because when you have the Son of Jesus, the Son of God working in your life, like I said, it could be the darkest hour of your life, but all of a sudden, God reminds you, that I paid the price for you. God reminds you that Satan, that he can't even come close to you, not unless I will allow him. Now that's awesome. And I was studying John chapter 10, and when you read all about the shepherd and how the shepherd guards and don't let nothing in, I don't want to go there, but isn't it awesome that the shepherd, his whole responsibility is to guide and to lead those sheep. And what's awesome about this is that the sheep know his voice, and a voice of a stranger they will not follow. The story I read was over in England, where a lot of the sheep are, is that you can let all the sheep go into one pen. But when the shepherd comes and calls his sheep, only his sheep will come to him, because they will only respond to the voice of their shepherd. And what's awesome about that is that you can have 100 pigs or 100 sheep, and out of these 100 sheep, you may be responsible for 10. But those 10 know your voice, and when you call out to them, come, they come. Come, they come. When you say, we're going to walk this way, they come. We're going to go left, they go. They're going to go right, they go. It's time to rest, they rest. And if one gets out of sort and runs away, all of a sudden, God goes after him. The shepherd goes after him. And then when the shepherd brings him back, he puts him on his neck. Now, I was reading about this, and I said, wow. Years ago, we were taught that he breaks his leg and all these different things. But how many know that the true story is that a sheep was too valuable to break the leg? Because now he couldn't keep up with the flock, and the shepherd could not just carry just the one the whole way. So when I got that revelation, it said that when he's put on his shoulders, now he's face to face with his master. Now his master is able to let him know, face to face, voice to voice, that you went wrong. But I love you so much that I'm going to carry you back to with the flock. I'm going to love you back to the flock. I'm going to care for you because I love you that much that I'm going to leave this 99 and I'm going to go back for the one, and I'm going to put you on my neck, and I'm going to carry you back. And all the way back, I'm whispering to you that I love you. Even though you messed up, I care for you. Even though you're not doing what's right, I love you. Amen? That's the shepherd. And that's the shepherd that we're talking about, Jesus. That's the shepherd that says that I'm going to take all your sin, I'm going to take all your guilt, all your dirt, all your shame, I'm going to put it on myself, and I'm going to die for you, and in exchange, I'm going to release righteousness to you. I'm going to release joy, happiness, peace, everlasting love to you, and eternal life. That's just something that many don't talk about, but eternal life, that if we die today, we will wake up in glory. What an exchange. I don't want to go to hell. I'm just going to be honest. You know, we used to tell the kids that on the youth, we had them take a stick pin and just stick it in their finger. And that was a representation of the torment, just a symbol of what they're going to go through, that torment will never end. That torment, I just had them stick the pin in their finger, and they just stuck it. And it was like, wow, after a while, they stopped. Like, I only can get about two or three. But imagine being tormented for the rest of your life, every minute, every second, every hour of your life, that's where you're going to end up if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You'll be tormented day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. I'm so glad that I accepted Jesus, and maybe many of you have, that when you go to heaven, you're going to be singing, you're going to be shouting, you may be running around. I don't care what you might be doing, but I'm going to be so happy just for this one thing, that I'm not going to be tormented by the devil. Amen. That is awesome. So just that exchange alone is worth me gladly accepting it. Amen. Now we sow. The Bible tells us that Jesus sowed. In Galatians 6 and 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is a law of sowing and reaping. If we sow sin, we reap judgment of death. If we sow righteousness, we reap life and glory. But on the cross, God reversed this law. Jesus sowed what he did not reap and reaped what he did not sow. You gotta catch that. God reversed this law. And he said, Jesus sowed what he did not reap and reaped what he did not sow. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus did not deserve to die. He had not sown sin and therefore did not need to reap judgment and death. But when Christ went to the cross, God made the great exchange. Christ reaped what we sowed, and now we reap what he sowed on our behalf. That's awesome. Christ took the punishment we deserve. Now we receive all the blessings that Christ deserved. Ephesians 1, 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Believers have been included in Christ. When we stand before God, he does not see our past because it has been exchanged for the past of Christ. As far as God is concerned, we now have Christ's past and all his righteousness, which calls upon it the blessing of God. Just look at what we stepped into when we stepped into Christ. Ephesians 1, 13 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to all of the purposes of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All these blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm actually belongs to Christ, but they now also belong to us because of Christ. We attract the blessings of heaven because when God look at us, he sees his son. However, not only do we now have Christ's past, but we have Christ's future. At the cross, Jesus took our future of judgment and hell in return. Because we are now in Christ, we receive Christ's future of glory and hope. Amen. We now have Jesus' future. That's a future that's filled with glory and hope. No gloom, no doom, no burning fire, but an everlasting love affair. Amen. I guess I'm keep mentioning love because we getting ready for the youth, and the men on Friday was messing with me because I said, well, wow. I was sharing the scripture, and I was just talking about how Jesus loves us. So the men, of course, said something, you know, and one of them, I just was shocked that he said it. It was Deacon Frank. He was like, oh, is it just Jesus you're in love with? You sure it's just Jesus? And I'll say, okay. So is this some of you might get the joke and some of you may not, but it's funny because it caught me off guard and it came from one of the deacons. And I said, yeah, I'm in love with Jesus. And yeah, I'm in love with that person too. But, you know, but we're here to talk about Jesus' love. Amen. So we get his future. We get his glory. We are linked for Christ. We are linked with Christ. Colossians 3, 3 and 4 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. So we are dead to this life. That's why the Bible says that we are new creatures. Amen. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. So as stated, we don't walk the same. We don't talk the same. And what I love about it is that when you go back home, people say, well, man, I remember when. And then you can tell, let them know that it's Christ. It's Jesus. And like I said, no, I wasn't crazy myself out there doing stupid stuff. But people recognize when Christ is in your life. People recognize when you have spent time or your life has changed. You don't, like I stated, you don't talk the same. You know, I was sharing with my daughter, you know, we was at an interview and I was saying, we're going to have to work on how you talk in public and talk to people. Because sometimes, you know, people take how you talk and consider you ignorant or stupid or whatever. But when Christ comes into your life, you may have talked with a stutter or couldn't even understand words and different things. I myself am sometimes amazed how God speaks to me and when I'm reading his word, because at one time I thought I couldn't even comprehend. I just was like, oh, I'm just going to go through school. Everyone was trash collectors. You got a government job. I'm just going to be a collector, do my 20 years and retire and live off the government. That's the mindset that you grow up with in the city. You don't even think about, you can go to college. You know, you can be something. They don't even try to steer you that way sometimes. I don't know about now, but I know when I was in school, it was as long as you can bounce the ball, throw the football, and you can run track, and you can sing the songs and all these different things, they push you through. And then when you get out of school, you realize, like, wow, I'm struggling here. What's going on? Because they pushed you through. And I'm so upset with the school system, with Destiny's last year, even started with Kenny. I'm just frustrated with the school system because they don't even teach no more. They're teaching for you to take a standardized test. It's not even English, math, anything. They're teaching you to take a test. That's all they're doing, because if you pass the test, the more money the state gets or the school district gets. So they don't even care about black history or even history at all, because they don't even care about it. They just want you to take this test and pass it. So the school district can get more money and they can say, oh, we had these high test scores. But yet your son and daughter graduate with no education. My son called me his first year at Widener crying, and he was so upset. And I was like, son, what's wrong? And my son is very intelligent. And he says, Dad, I did not learn enough at high school to be in this college today. So I'm going to have to work extra hard just to survive, because he wasn't taught what was necessary and needed for him to go to college. So we got to, why I go there? We got to work. You know, we see, this is the exchange that I'm talking about. Now that we have been exchanged and we are new creatures, we can no longer allow people to just treat us any old kind of way, even treat our children any old kind of way, because we are the righteousness of God. Amen. My child is somebody. Look, you got to go back and give him a curriculum that's going to help him or her get somewhere in life. And if you ain't going to do it, we Christians, we need to unite and come together and help our young people become the most successful people they can become. Amen. 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 I get so excited talking about, it's almost like you get radical, because it's like I'm sick of our kids. You know, we work with kids over the years with the basketball program. And when you saw these kids, they recognize you in the street. Their moms and dads recognize you and say, what happened? Why are you guys not doing that any longer? My son, for those 7-8 weeks, they had somewhere to go where they didn't have to be on the street. And then you see the ones that took heed to what you were saying, and they're in college, and they're successful, they're police officers, they're school teachers, and all these different things. And they say, thank you. Because you inspired us to become more than what we thought we could become. See, that's what restoration is all about. That's what this church is all about. That's what God is all about. Letting you know that you are more than what the world is saying you are. So I get mad and I get frustrated and I get crazy. And because we after kids, we after souls, you know. We're not playing games no more. Because the exchange has given me power that I can't even think about. I'm going to be honest. Boldness in Acts chapter 4, it tells us that the group, the church, this was the second earthquake. I'm not sure if you even realize that after the Holy Ghost shook the first time, but then when they got to the fourth, it shook again. And why did it shake again? Because they were united in prayer and the doctrine of the apostles. They wasn't about concerned about he, this, that, whatever. They were just praying and believing God for miracles. And the Bible says that the power of God came in that place, shook it again. Not only did it shake it again, but all of a sudden souls were won out of the experience because they got the boldness to witness. Yeah. Amen. They got the boldness to declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'm going to be honest. 20 years ago, I know for a fact, I sat there and I know that I couldn't do what I'm doing right now if it wasn't Christ that made the exchange for me. Amen. And I know for you all, he's doing the same for you, that when you get hold of God in your life, it's an exchange, and it's a marvelous exchange, and I gladly accept it over and over and over again. And that's why I have a problem with people that say they're Christians, but yet their actions say something different. Can we all fall and we make mistakes? Oh, yes. The Bible tells us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But at some point, you have to have an encounter with Jesus. And when you have that encounter, all of a sudden, everything about you changed. You don't care what people say. You don't care how people act. If God's word says that abortion is wrong, you're going to stand for it. Amen? If the Bible says that man and man marriage is wrong, you're going to stand for it. Because you have had an experience with God, and God's word lives within you, so you can't go against what is in you. Amen? So I find it kind of hard to sometimes say that, hear people say, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again Christian, but yet you vote certain ways, but yet you live certain ways, and you do certain things. Your life and your fruit don't line up with what God has done for you. Because if you have been exchanged with the blood of Jesus, your life no longer exists. Now you are a Christian. You are a Christian. You're not a fake halfway or just on voting days, I'm not a Christian. But every day, you're a Christian. Not just when it's convenient. And I love how politicians do it when it's convenient. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. They want your vote. Yeah. I'm saved. I'm for that. And then they get in office and then go totally against. And you done put them in. So we got to be led by the Spirit, and we got to let God take rule in this earth. Amen. And we got to let the exchange rule our lives. Amen. 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 All right. Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says, and because you are sons of God, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Every child of God was divinely given the Holy Spirit the moment he or she was adopted by God. The word Abba, in Aramaic, domestic, it's a domestic term which is related to father. But not just is it related to father, but it's intimacy of the family that word love or Abba comes from. So you just don't call anybody dad. Amen. A dad pretty much earns that name. Amen. Because he shows the love. He shows the care. He shows the understanding. He lets you know that I'm your dad. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you go, where you fall, I'm going to be there to help you back on your feet. I'm your Abba. Amen. So that's why the Bible says that we can call, he is our Abba Father. And that word strictly means to us in America or in American terms, daddy or dad or however you say it. You know, I honestly, you know, I called my granddad, granddad. I called my father, Johnny. I called my overseer, dad. You missed that. You missed that. You got it? I called my granddad, granddad. I called my father, Johnny. No disrespect, no love. And I called overseer, dad. Because the intimacy of that word, Abba, means more than just someone saying dad. There's more to it than someone just saying, I'm your father. You know, I got you today, but then don't show up. The Abba Father we're talking about is that Abba Father that's always going to be there. Whenever you call on the Abba Father, he's going to hear you and he's going to respond to your situation. That's why he's called Abba Father. It's an intimacy. It's a love affair that this father has for his kids. So we call back to him, Abba Father. And what I love about this scripture I just read is that we're no longer adopted. Amen. We're now sons. And not only are we just sons, but we're heirs. Amen. Well, now, I ain't been an heir to nothing. So all I can do is just go by the definition of what an heir is. So an heir usually got some little something with it. Amen. So if I'm an heir of Jesus Christ, of God, he says that, look, now Jesus, God owns a thousand cattle on a thousand hills, right? He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the gold, all the wealth, everything. So all of a sudden, I get Jesus into my life, and I'm going through the exchange. No longer am I considered a bastard child or this or that. Now I'm considered a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I should be able to walk around with a little pup, be puffed up a little bit, because I'm an heir. What am I heir to? I'm an heir to heaven. I'm an heir to Jesus' love. I'm an heir to his healing power. I'm an heir to his everlasting love, his everlasting life. I'm an heir to being able to live down here on this earth and live fruitful down here on this earth because I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. I'm just not old, just old, any old body. So when you get that exchange and you feel it in your spirit, all of a sudden you don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. You don't stand the same. All of a sudden you can have 2 nickels in your pocket, but you know you're rich. Amen. You can have 2 nickels in your pocket, but you know you're rich because my daddy is rich. My Abba Father owns everything. Amen. You wouldn't have that car, that Maybach that you drive, if my father didn't give somebody the mindset to build it. So I might be driving my little Chevy right now. I'm going to be okay in my little Chevy. But eventually, one day, my father's going to, if I keep loving him, I keep doing what he requires of me, he loves to give good gifts. So all of a sudden, no longer are you driving a Chevy, but maybe you go to a Ford. See, sometimes we want to go from the Chevy to the Bentley to the Mercedes. We ain't ready. Some of us not ready for that. Amen. You got to be ready for that. Amen. You got to have, as they say to young kids, you got to have some long paper. You can't have short paper. Amen. You got to have long paper. But because of Jesus Christ, I can admire those cars. I can admire all those different things. But while I'm driving in my Chevy, I'm okay. Because it's getting me to work. It's getting me home. And I guess I said a Chevy because after I wrecked my first car coming here, then we're going to close. I never forget, I had a Hyundai, and I was so, I was on top of the world. And I got here to Jersey and drove in my first snowstorm. And I was coming home on this road right here by the Monica's gas station. I worked the third shift, coming home, 7:30 in the morning. Never forget it. I'm, just driving along, and it's like the car had a mind of its own, just went right into the pole. I'm like, what in the world is this? And from that point on, my new car, brand new car, failed to exist. I had a Chevy Chevette, I think it was called. My mom gave me a car. But these was all cars that, you know, the average person would frown upon. But yet, I drove those cars, and I think, not even caring, pull up right next to my buddy getting out of Mercedes or getting out of this. Didn't even care. Kept it clean. Kept it okay. And then God give you a Toyota. Amen. But I had to work up to the Toyota. See, sometimes we got to let God do the working on us. See, sometimes just because the exchange has been made, we can't expect everything to be done for us right away. Some things God has to prune. He has to take out of our lives. Because, you know, if he gives us too much money right away, we're going to be conceited. We're going to be arrogant. We're going to think we the bomb and all this other stuff. And we're going to forget all about the one who gave us the money. So over time, he gradually promotes you. He gradually gets you to the place where he needs you to be. You may never get to the Mercedes, but one thing I love about God, he's going to honor my worshiping and honoring him for the Chevette, for the Ford, for the Mercedes, for the, whatever you're driving, he's going to honor it. Amen? So in closing, an exchange has been made on our behalf by Christ Jesus. As stated, I will gladly accept this exchange. We give God praise today because our past has been exchanged for Christ's future. We love you today because that exchange you made on our behalf before we were even born, you died to redeem us to the Father. And we love you today. We don't take for granted what you have done for us on the cross. It is no way that we could have done it ourselves, or was there any way we could have paid for what Christ did for us at Calvary. We give your name all the praise and all the glory today for the changing of our position in Christ, that we are no longer tossed to and fro, wretches undone, but we are now righteous heirs of the kingdom because of the exchange of Christ's blood and his crucified body for our rights, for his righteousness for on our behalf. So are you glad? Amen. Could you stand to your feet? That's shouting right there. Hey, I've been exchanged. I know Mario was feeling it over there, and we were trying to go with him. Sometimes that's how I feel with the exchange within myself. I'm just praising God and excited that I'm no longer what I used to be. I'm no longer who I used to be, but I'm a new creature. I'm somebody different. I'm not the one that came out of my mom's womb 45 years ago. I was about to say 20, but 45 years ago. I'm different. It is all because Christ's exchange. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word on today. We pray that something was said to bless and bring just enlightenment of who you are in all of our lives. We thank you, O God, for this exchange on today, O God. We thank you that we are new creatures. We're no longer what we used to be, but we are who you want us to be. We thank you that you exchanged our past, our dirt, our filthiness for Christ's future and present. So God, we thank you. We honor you on today. We're excited about who Jesus is. And on this communion, God, we remember you, God. Oh, God, on this communion Sunday, God, we remember who you are, God. We remember your bruised body, your shed blood on our behalf, God. We remember, oh, God, you going to the cross and not saying a word, but dying for us, oh, God. We remember you and we honor you and we accept the great exchange willingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, if there is anyone in the house that does not know Jesus as your personal